Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Hey, man, I think, you know, hearing you share all that, and I know a lot of what's going on and excited about what I've not only been part of, but I've also seen from a distance, is that you've thought through this. I mean, you've really prayed through this, and it's been intentional. And I think, you know, in the context of where you are in Madison, Georgia, east of Atlanta, in between Atlanta and Augusta, I mean, I think you found ways to win with the men that live in that community. And it could look different for a church in, you know, downtown Atlanta compared to this, but there's a, you know, manhood's still a global issue, you know, and mm-hmm. it goes across the country. And whether it's in a rural setting or right in the city, heart of a city, I think, you know, there's something to thinking through, you know, where your context is, and, you know, obviously getting along with the Lord to be able to offer a next step, to offer an intentional strategy. And the other two words that come to mind, I just see this a lot, is the intentional side, obviously, but the relational side. And I really believe you cannot become missional until there is intentional ministry, until there's relational connection. There's really going to be a hard time of a missional approach to any time you're trying to reach anybody, whether that's the man or even the family. And then I want to ask a question too, with you know, with the senior adults, or not the senior adults, but the students and with the adults. I think that, to me, that's Titus 2. Obviously, we see that in scripture. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing too, when I know of churches that are doing that, is that, you know, these students don't know who the adults are. They don't have a relationship with them, and to me, that allows the open door for a relationship, and a young man may connect with an older man that's, you know, he's got a draw to or a connection with. And, you know, if they don't get together, they're not going to probably connect. And I think we as leaders need to find ways to get our church together, no matter the age group. So speak to that. Maybe there's a connection with maybe your sons. I know they have great relationships with older men in your church. I know that. And even outside the church, I mean, your sons primarily have just a great, you know, relationship with men, not only in their age or younger than they are, but also the men that are out beyond their age group.
Yeah. So, I made my mind up. My dad was a pastor, and he took me everywhere he went. He actually died when I was 12. But up until I was 12 years old, he took me everywhere, and he would make this statement. He'd say, "You see that guy right there?" He said, "He's a churchman." And that impacted me. Obviously early on, I didn't know what a churchman was, but as I watched these men and I listened to my dad and I listened to them, I began to develop in my own heart and mind what a true churchman was. And so my goal, when we started having kids, I've got four boys and one girl, is I wanted to raise up four arrows to light them on fire with the gospel and launch them into this dark world to make a difference. And I wanted them to be churchmen. And so, I take my boys everywhere I go. And I never travel alone. Never. I want to take my boys with me. And so I want to create that same kind of culture in our church. And we use that term here a lot about churchmen, be a churchman. And so when young men are in the room and they're around other men, they begin to develop this whole idea of what a churchman is. And most churches have very few real legit churchmen. And so I want to create an environment where young men, our retreat coming up weekend after next, I think we've got three or four teenage boys that are coming without their dads. Because they feel comfortable being around the group of men here at our church, and they want to go, and they want to be challenged, and they want to learn. And some of those dads have already been on the retreat, and they think, "I want our son to go on a retreat without me." And some dads are bringing their sons. So it's, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. I think it's a missing link in the church, because students graduate out of high school, they go off to college, and they think big church is not for them anymore. And they don't think about it again until they start having kids, and by then, man, it's a slippery slope, buddy. And right. So we've got to pour this into them when they're young. We want young men to come to every men's event. I mean, we had 11 and 12 year olds at our men's event, our 3M event Saturday. And we celebrate that, man. They're rubbing shoulders with men. Know how to
function. And rubbing some meat too, right?
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. I didn't like it because the pitmaster always picked them to come up and sample. Yeah, that was not fair, but you know, I'll let it go.
Hey, as a lead pastor, you get first dibs on the samples. I think that's just my opinion.
Well, I just went up there and started helping him, and then I started eating. So
that's a blessing to have a pit master in your church. I don't think we have one here. We probably have some self acclaimed ones, but you know,
yeah. If he don't have a rec tech, he ain't doing it right.
not a sponsor, but yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
you know. So that's why I started by saying that your men in your church, Matt, I wouldn't describe as passive or unchallenged. I mean, you have challenged them, and they have stepped up. Men stepped up to challenge. They rise to the bar you set for them, right? And I don't want anybody to think that's listening that we're anti-events. I mean, these are all the events you're doing.
That's right.
But they're all intentional, right? There's intentionality built behind these events. And I know for a fact, because what's the number one question, Matt, that people like to ask other pastors? You know, what are you running? You know, how many people you got? You know, how many people? And I like to give the Easter numbers. It makes me look a little better, you know. But and so I got into numbers as well. And I think actually Keith helped me think through this at the What's at Stake night we did here 2 years ago. I was focused on how many people are going to be here. And I think you said something of the nature, Keith, that the win is really what happens after.
Yeah.
What's after this event? What's the follow-up? That's where the win really is. And so I've just seen that happen. And so I think, Matt, that I'm praying and hoping that there are a lot of pastors listening. Just because of the lack of men's ministry in churches that we see a lot of money for youth and children, and we need those. We need to raise up the next generation, obviously. And we talked about Titus 2, older men training younger men. But there's not a lot of effort into men's ministry. And I find some of it's not necessarily no desire. It's where to start, how to start in that. And Keith, I'm trying to remember, help me out. What did you used to say? We said this a few weeks back, the stop often prevents the start or something like that.
It's the start that stops us, especially as men. Most of the time we don't know. There's, you know, if I go into a Bass Pro Shop, I'm probably not going to buy anything unless I know what I'm going to buy, because it's just so much in there. Where do I go? I go to the fishing section. I go to the, you know, hunting section. I like all of it. So, you know, I'm not like most guys. I need to have a reason to buy something, you know. So.
Yeah.
Some guys may go in there and, well, I'll get all this and walk out of there with a cart full and maybe a bass boat to tow on the way back. But I can't do that. But, I think most guys are there. It's often the start that stops us. We know there's an issue we need to do. I know I want to go buy this lure to go fishing with, but there's 25 different kind to buy. There's 25 different, you know, lures to use in one section. I ain't got to the other section yet. I'm not talking about trolling something. I'm talking about, you know, fishing on the bottom of the surface.
Yeah.
When you think about men's ministry, I think there's so much out there that, you know, there's a lot of noise out there. And I think the best way to eliminate the noise is to get back to scripture and really, you know, number one, you obviously need to pray. Number two, I think God really shows you how to do ministry with clarity in the epistles. That we sometimes are not leveraging in our relationships with the men that we even do life with. So I think that's the thing, is that what can you do? You know, what can you do with a plan, strategy? We've been saying recently there's got to be a form so there can be a function, which really allows for the force and the movement and kingdom of God to take place. If there's no form or strategy or function, there's no real impact going to take place. We may have a lot of things going on. We're going to be worn out, probably potentially burn out, and because there's no real fulfillment taking place. My sons are playing flag football right now. They don't have a game plan. They're getting beat 47-10. You know what I'm saying? They're getting their tail kicked because there's no structure, plan, strategy, whatever. We're playing football. Yeah, great. Yeah, you're sore. You really didn't put any points on the board. So I think if pastors really looked at it the way Jesus did, your ministry would look a little different today, because there's a tremendous open door, especially with men. And I think the door is wide open with men.
Yeah, it is.
I think Kingdom Impact can really have a big result in the family and the church. So
Maybe Matt talk about how, what a guy can do to start. What are some things he can do to start, and what you did, and maybe Mike, you as well, just come back with the answers. Both of you guys, yeah. Both the pastors, what have you done? Where have you seen the results at? Where are the fruit at? Where's the long-term fruit coming up? You see coming up, and then what are some things you're considering as you move into 2025 and beyond?
So I'm obviously a man, and I need what every other man needs. And if I were going to start as a pastor today, trying to help men, I'd start where the need that I have in my own heart is met. And so I need men. Men need men. And so I would personally handpick a group of men, sit down with them, and invite them on a journey. And that's where I would start. And I would build a brotherhood as quick as I could, cast vision to them to take it to the rest of the church and outside the walls. That's where I would start. And I'd put a game plan together. So I would, you know, me again, doing it again, I'd do the exact same thing. I'd contact Keith. I'd sit down and walk through a game plan. We'd put some a strategic plan together that would not be so dependent upon me that it would weigh me down to where that start would cause a stop. Okay, because we have limited time, and I'm no different than any other man. I just pastor a church vocationally, but you know, time's limited. So I would handpick some men, invite them on a journey, and share the responsibility. Because no doubt we've got men in our churches that are hungry, and if we just ask and give them a seat at the table and invite them on a journey, I believe they'll take it. They will take it, no doubt.
Right.
Yeah, I don't need to add a whole lot to that because, man, that is absolutely correct. I would say as a pastor for myself, I've just, me personally, regardless if other men have come in or not, they will follow you, right? They will follow you, and hopefully they're following you kind of closely on this. But I've just made sure every church I've been in, I'm telling the church, I'm making men a priority. And I can't do every single thing. I've come to find out as a pastor, you never visit enough and you're never in the office enough. So you can't be everywhere all the time. You can't do every little thing. That's why we make disciples that make disciples, men carrying out the work of the ministry as well. But I've just led out on this. I think pastors need to lead out on this. Whether you do it yourself or you get another lay leader to step up and lead it, I think the pastor of every church has to make this his priority. If he doesn't make it a priority, it's going to be really hard for guys to do this. And so, and for lay leaders, I think one of the things to get these men involved, again, my early philosophy of men's ministry wasn't the best, but it was intentional, and I was doing something, right? Yeah. I was having something for these guys, but we would gather in a room and we talk about our Bible study. We went through Robert Lewis's stuff in the very beginning. I'm talking about like 15 years ago. But I did life with those men. I hung out with those men. I still have relationships with those men. But we'd often, I was doing it all. It was my passion, my priority. And what I've seen now is, you know, raising up men to do the work of the ministry. On Wednesday nights, what we're doing right now in our big men's Bible study, we have the table groups that we talk about on here where we have older guys sitting with younger guys, but the last two Wednesdays I haven't taught. Other guys have been teaching on Wednesdays, and are they going to get a call from a church to be a pastor? Probably not. But I think it's giving these lay leaders a chance, and then letting men know you're free to fail in this. I mean, it's okay. Step up. We're going to hold your arms up. We're going to support you. You're being obedient. And I'll tell you, Matt, I don't know if you know this or not. I can't remember if I told you, but I had several months ago, I had asked some lay leaders, hey, I need to give away ministry. I'm not going to be the only voice you hear from on Wednesday nights in our men's Bible study. So I challenged the men to step up and teach a lesson one Wednesday. It kind of went silent, haven't heard anything. And then we went to the men's summit there that you had at your church there in Georgia. And I don't know if you preached on it, Matt, or somebody else. I know I didn't say it in my sermon, but I think it was you, Matt. Somebody said, you need to put your yes on the table. Let's put your yes on the table. I had one of our most faithful men, just a country boy, redneck, you know, he's a great guy, but he stepped up after that and said, I want to teach. I've been struggling with this for a long time about stepping up and doing it. I need to put my yes on the table.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah. So it's just giving these lay leaders a chance to get started and take it over. Because here's the thing. It's if you come for me, you leave for me. Right. I don't want any ministry or any person, anything built around my personality and me. Lord can take me out. He can call me away. And I want this. We care about reaching men wherever they're at. We want this thing to outlive us in the next generation. Right.
Hey, Mike. Keith's made this quote from Patrick Morley talking about it takes 10 years to build an effective men's ministry. Mm. We started in 2019, making major changes. Last year on Wednesday nights with our men gathering, I taught 2 times.
Wow.
And the majority of those other times were laymen that are speaking. So, man, it was glorious. And it's awesome.
Right.
Absolutely. And our men are loving it. I mean, they really are. They're loving that these other men are teaching, and they're putting effort into it as well. They're not just getting up there winging anything. You know, they're putting a lot of effort into it. So what do you think, you know, with the state of manhood overall and our desire? That's why, again, that's why all of us are sitting on here on Tuesday mornings and doing this podcast. We want to reach men. We want other men to reach men, right? And because when men win, everybody wins. We say that all the time.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do 2 things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.